Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
I love baseball, Dave.
I love the Mariners, Bob.
I love the Mariners. I love baseball. It is Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Very abbreviated edition of the program today, but a pleasure to come on following that game in that series. A four-game sweep of the Oakland A's on the road, Dave. On the road. If we were talking before this series saying, all right, realistically, what do you expect? What's realistic here? The goal always in a four-game road series, get two. You got to try to get – you're happy with two. Obviously, you want all four. But if you get two, you're like, mission accomplished. We move on to the next one. They got four. And they did it on a day where Kikuchi face-planted again. Absolutely terrible. Three innings through 70-plus pitches. Just a brutal effort out of him. And you're thinking, all right, not their day. He gives up three runs in three innings. Ramirez comes in. First guy he faces gives up a home run. You're like, okay, you got three. I'm not more than happy with three or four. And then the offense comes alive, and they take all four from the Oakland A's. Unbelievable.
Well, and today, you know, at one point when they were down 4-1, I was paying more attention to the drunk guy
behind home plate. I think the broadcasters were as well. I mean, yeah. It was hard not to notice him because, A, there's 17 people in the stands, so each individual stands out. And he's right behind home plate.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, Cal Raleigh gets up and hits one deep. And so, yeah.
The look in by Caprelli and delivers, swinging a fly ball deep into right field. Pinder going back, looking up, and goodbye baseball into the bleachers. There's number two for Cal Raleigh and his second against the Oakland A's, and it's a two-run home run, and the Mariners are right back in it. It's now the A's 4 and the Mariners 3. On Cal Raleigh's second home run of the season.
Then what happened, Dave? You say then, it, I'll make it happen.
Then it was Haniger.
Here's a 3-2 to Haniger. Pitch swung on and drilled deep to right. Backing up Pinder on the track, reaching up over the fence. And that baby's gone. We got a tie ball game. Mitch Haniger with a home run ties it up as 35th. RBI number 85, and the Mariners keep on battling back, and they've done it again.
What happened after that, Dave?
Well, first of all, I thought Pinder caught that.
I know he was kind of – you see outfielders will make that play when it's really close, and they'll kind of lay on the ground for a minute, and then they'll hold the glove up like, there it is. And you're just like, just pulls the heart out of you because you're going, did it go? Did he miss it? And, yeah, so I was with you. I was like, is he laying there messing with me right now?
Yeah, exactly. And then, Bob, the guy who hit like 190 – down at Triple A Tacoma, he comes to the plate.
2-2 pitch, swung on, yank down the line. Ooh. Stay fair, big boy. He did! A two-run homer by Luis Torrens. Pinch hitting, and the Mariners have a 6-4 lead. LT off the bench, his 15th home run, and the Mariners have battled all the way back.
Dave, LT off the bench.
Well, and because there was the dozens of fans there, you could hear somebody go, yeah, I thought it was Logan Gilbert. It kind of sounded like his voice because I saw him kind of mulling around over there in the dugout.
It might have been.
But then, you know, Torrens let out a shout, man. That was fantastic, man. It was just, yeah, I just didn't expect that. Like you said, you know, thinking, hey, look, two would be great.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get the one last night that was really fun to watch. And then, you know, today, all of a sudden, and you know, it's funny. I was like, I think they can come back. I think they can come back in this one. And
that's one thing we've learned all year.
Yeah.
If there's one thing we've learned that, you know, very few of their games where you look at it and go, well, there's no hope.
Yeah. Well, you know, the other thing, too, was that right before Torrens hit that home run, and it was high on the strike, the EQC tracer or whatever, mm-hmm. McDonald's tracer, and Aaron Goldsmith had just quoted the stat that half of his home runs, Torrens home runs, have been high in the zone. And he takes one that was, you know, maybe clipped just the very top of the zone, and he takes it deep.
It was just, I mean, for a game that started out the way that it did with your starting pitcher, and Yusei Kikuchi, he's really been struggling. So you're going, all right, I don't know what we're going to get from him, but maybe he reverts back to the first half form that we saw, the all-star form of Kikuchi. And it just got worse. I mean, 3 innings, 3 runs, 72 pitches. I think he walked 4. It was just, it was brutal. I don't know what's happened. I don't, even minus Spider Tack, if he is in fact a Spider Tack guy, he's had some exceptionally bad performances that, that tell you something. It's either, it's a mental thing. I don't know physically where he's at. His velocity was there. He just had no command, and it was just, it was awful. I mean, you used 7 pitchers today. You went Kikuchi, Ramirez, Misevich, Smith, Sadler, Castillo, Seawald. And
Seawald gave up a home run.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you're like, got everything back under control.
Yeah. Had 2 outs, gave up the solo shot, and came back and got it done. And then Ramirez, he goes a third of an inning, gives up 1 hit, which was a home run, you know, in relief of Kikuchi. So it was just, again, for a day you were watching going, okay, all right, they got 3 of 4. You just sort of resigned to the fact that sweeping any team, sweeping a bad team at home is tough in a 4-game series. Doing it on the road is even tougher. But the A's are a good team, and you took all 4 from them.
Yeah, well, and then they just pick each other up, you know, because Kikuchi, as you mentioned, not a great outing. Last night, J.P. Crawford went 0 for 5, but then, you know, you had Ty France, Tom Murphy, you know, go 2 for 4 with an RBI. So, yeah, they just seem to always pick each other up. And, you know, there's just always a chance with a guy like Dylan Moore. That one-hopper that he
– Oh, at third.
At third.
Yeah, it was a great
play.
I was
like, man, that was – and I don't know if he was lucky. He kind of jerked at the last second, but, you know, saw him playing a little bit of third base. They just figured it out. And, man, it was just – you know, I was going to ask you, the one that was hit over Kelnick's head, you know, that's just like a scouting report thing. Like, you see them pulling their hat off.
They're
looking
at the card.
And so that was based on, you know, that shallow –
Yeah, they're looking at the card. You'll have the coaches shouting from the dugout whether they want to, whether they want to move left, get deeper, shallow, left, right. They'll still direct traffic, if you will, from the dugout, even though they're looking at the scouting card. So, listen, just big hit there.
Yeah. Wasn't on him.
Yeah, I didn't put that one on him.
It was just kind of a baseball 101 thing I was going to ask you because, you know, it's kind of like Trey Flowers is 8 yards off the ball, and it's like, well, he's told to do that. And so, same thing with Kelnick. But
this team, and you and I have said it, and our buddy Luke Arkins that we talked to, that works for a Prospect Insider, you know, he sent out a tweet, and he just said, I don't know how this game will end. This is during the game, obviously, or how this season will end. But this Mariners team is so fun to watch. And you and I have been saying that all year, that the almost the same qualification. Listen, I don't know if they're going to make it to the playoffs. All I know is there was no part of me expecting them to get to the playoffs. I would have bet against them. I am more than happy to be wrong about their record, their ability to get to the postseason. I will wear it with pride. I don't care because I have had more fun watching this team than any of the teams. I've watched individuals. I love Nelson Cruz. I love Cano when he first came over. There have been individuals. But as far as seasons, there's something more satisfying about watching a team that's built around your future.
Yeah.
You never really felt that way. I mean, you thought, you know, Nelson was there for the time being, but you knew he's not a young guy. He came over, he wasn't a young guy. So you knew that time's limited. So there's just a different element of you know, whether it's Kelnick, whether it's Gilbert, whether it's Toro, all these guys are 24, 23. It's just such a young team, and you're looking at the core of your future succeeding like this. It just, there's something decidedly more satisfying about it.
Yeah. Well, and we already played it, but Cal Raleigh's 2-run home run. I mean,
he needed that, man.
Demo gets on with a hit, and he's at first, and then, he just cranked that thing. So, and once again, from a place that you wouldn't normally count on, you're not counting on Cal Raleigh's batting 177 right now. He comes up huge.
Yeah, after going 2 for 4 today, raised his average to 177.
Right.
You look at this lineup. If you just looked at the averages, like you hadn't watched this team and you're just a – baseball fan from the East Coast or wherever, and you just looked at the lineup, you're going, well, there's 1, 2, 3 guys hitting under 200 in your lineup right now. Mm-hmm. You got Kelnick hitting 174, Moore hitting 182, Raleigh 177, Fraley's just above at 207. You got Seager hitting 215. You know,
yeah, and then you got 3 over 250.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at going, how are they? Wait, they've got 84 wins? They're 2 games out of the playoffs with a lineup like that. And then you look, I mean, Seager's production last night hits the home run, 35th of the season, 100th RBI. First time in his career he's done that. Tremendous to see him do that. So that, I mean, last night you got just a stellar performance out of Flexen, who's been nails all year. 7 innings, 8 strikeouts, 1 earned run out of Flexen the night before. Just fantastic. And he's you look at that and say, well, that's why they were able to go 7 pitchers today, or 6 relievers after Kikuchi, because he didn't burn the bullpen last night. He goes 7. You get 1 inning out of Castillo last night and 1 inning out of Steckenrider, and you got basically your full complement today. And you needed it because, again, Kikuchi face-planted one more time, and the offense and the bullpen bailed him out. It was phenomenal.
53, minus 53 is the run differential number. And then there were 9. There's 9 games left, 6 of them against a team with a minus 94 run differential in the Los Angeles Angels. They're 72 and 80. So got 6 there and then 3 more with the A's.
And we are 2 wins away from you being correct.
Yeah, and I hope I'm wrong.
You will be. Yeah. They'll win more than 2 games. Yeah. But you're closer than any of us. I mean, so they'll...
Bob, I just pulled that number out of my keister.
But okay. That's that. But the funniest scientific thing about it is we joked about, oh, Dave, okay, 86 wins. I mean, that was kind of the reaction to that. You know, you're having fun with it, 86 wins. Okay, I'll take 86. I said 76. I'm going to be way off. Lefko said 80. The fact that you'll be the closest, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Shows my baseball knowledge, Bob.
It does. Oh. Your ability to see the future is uncanny. So just love that. Great, phenomenal series. We'll see what they get done in the final 9 games of the season. Meanwhile, is there a Cold War brewing between Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll? Tell you what we're talking about next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
We talked a lot about Pete Carroll's post-game comments, his immediate press conference after the game, and then he was on with Salk the next day. And he sort of repeated the same statement about Russell Wilson in that. Saying, you know, boy, I wish he could have helped us and, you know, check the ball down. And, you know, it wasn't throwing him under the bus, so to speak. But for Pete, it's about as aggressive as he gets in calling anybody out, right? He did it twice. So the first one you might allow for emotion, like, all right, it's in the heat of the game. It's right after the game. He's talking to the media. Once he's had time to catch his breath, wake up, you know, get a night of sleep, wake up the next day, look at the film. All right, maybe he words it differently. He didn't. And then Russell Wilson was speaking with the media and was asked about how he felt about the, do you agree with what Pete said there? And here's what Russell said.
You know, I think that what I agree with is find a way to win the game, whatever that is, you know. So, you know, I think that, you know, ultimately the game happens so fast, you know. You try to get the ball to Tyler, obviously he's had 180 some yards, you know, he's a pretty good player. But at the same time, you know, it's the game happens fast. You know, you make a decision. It was backed up. Didn't want to get hit in the first play, get sacked on it. So, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, we were probably 3-4 inches off from completing it, you know, one of those beautiful toe taps. So it's, you know, I'm not going to change my mindset. I know how to win a lot of those games, you know, and we've done it before. And you're not going to win every single one of them. But, you know, you believe you can.
Yeah. How do you take that? I'm not going to change my mindset. I know how to win those games. And what I agree with is – so he didn't say, yeah, I agree with what he said. He's saying, well, what I agree with is, you know, we got to do what it takes to win games.
Part of it.
That was a
– you know what kind of – what stood out to me is I've heard Schneider do this, and I don't know, maybe it's an NFL thing, but when he goes, yeah, Tyler Lockett, he's a pretty good player.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I'll hear
it's sarcastic.
Schneider will say that sometimes, which I think is really funny. You know, he'll talk about, yeah, this number and that number and this. So I guess he's a pretty good player. I thought that was kind of, yeah, that's interesting. I still don't buy the whole thing that, you know, Russ and Pete are in some kind of a battle and that it's some drama. I don't. I just think that.
You admit this is different, though.
It is different.
The way Pete talked after the game and the way Russ has responded to it.
Right, and that's what I was going to say is that I feel like it's a different communication that they're having and then what we're hearing, you know. And so, you know, maybe it's – we heard the story about how Belichick treated Tom Brady like a 20-year-old instead of a 40-year-old or something like that. And, you know, I think that those relationships develop. And, you know, they were always – I always go back to that scene in 2019 after the Monday Night Football win in overtime against the 49ers where Pete and Russ were just – you know, hugging each other and grabbing each other's shirts and, you know, running on the field and happy and everything. And I'm just like, I just don't think that that has changed that much. But it's probably gotten to be a little bit more, you know, you have to have serious conversations about that. And I don't think that they're necessarily playing it out in the media. I think they're probably having those kinds of conversations behind closed doors as well. It's just a different one. It used to be all happy and positive and everything, but not things can't be that way all the time. That's just reality. It's just about getting older and having a relationship. And the longer you know somebody, I always say this about Moyer jokingly, because he says it about me, I'm sure. I know everything about Paul Moyer, and I like him anyway.
Yeah.
Which is just a joke. But, you know, it's like it's kind of true that, like, you know, when you have an older – this has been a 10-year relationship now. You know, I remember Pete during an interview a year or two ago, he was he found somewhere on his desk Russell's rookie year goals, like career goals, and they were on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just a more mature relationship. I think what you're hearing there maybe sounds like that. Maybe we're just parsing it, you know, and tearing apart every last little, like, you know, like I did there with Tyler Lockett's a pretty good player. Just kind of a little sarcasm there, but it's just not what we're used to. You're just seeing a quarterback grow up. He's a grown man. He started off a kid, and now he's, you know, pretty serious about it, and I just think they're communicating differently. But as far as this being the last year together, if they don't win a Super Bowl, I just think that's a
you think there's anything to that, or you think that's being manufactured or
overblown?
I hope it is. Yeah. I 1,000% hope it is.
Well, and the people that we're hearing it from, are they around the guys? Are they around? You know, do they think they are? Or maybe, you know, and a lot of times the sources would come from like one guy.
Right.
You know, and it's like, you know, a guy that has a contact over there with the Seahawks, and it's one guy.
Yeah.
And he's saying something, and it's just his interpretation of it. So, yeah, I'm not buying it, but I just think we're hearing a different way of communicating between Pete and Russ. A more, you know, advanced, they're in a more advanced stage. You can say those kinds of things, you know, later on when you know each other better. You can't do that early on because somebody's going to get the wrong idea. I feel like Pete knows where Russell's coming from. Russ knows where Pete's coming from.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe it is just a progression in their relationship. And, hey, we can speak this way and know that the other person's not going to take it right that way or whatever. We can disagree. We can publicly say, well, I think this, you think that. All right. Yeah. And we move on together. Maybe that's where it's at. And that's where I hope is where it's at. You know, I hope it's not that passive aggressive. Well, I'll tell you what I agree with. I know how to win these games. Yeah. You know, because you can, it's very easy. That's not manufacturing everything. I think anything. I think you can look at this and go, this is decidedly different way, a different way of communicating than we've heard and seen in the past from these two guys. Very different. And it's early. It's two games into the season. So you're like, whoa, okay. You know, just him saying, yeah, I know how to win these things, you know, and I'm not going to change my mindset. Okay. You know, we'll see. Hopefully things don't go the wrong direction in the way of wins and losses, but that's where those things will come bubbling to the surface. If there is, happens to be some sort of tension behind the scenes or happens to be some sort of headbutting behind the scenes, those things find the light of day when things go wrong.
True.
They always do.
Yep. What you do in the darkness shall come to light. And, you know, somebody's saying
hey,
here,
that's pretty good.
That you're apologizing. I just don't think that's the way it is. I think that this is an overblown hype. I'm not apologizing. If they truly are, I'll be surprised, you know, and I guess it wouldn't be uncommon, but just knowing the kind of guys that both of them are, I would be very surprised if they were having this little passive aggressive fight in the media.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's definitely worth watching and seeing what goes on. Hopefully, again, winning cures everything. So as long as they're winning, it's going to be.
That's a great quote.
Yeah, yeah, I just made it up.
Cures all ills, Bob.
That's right. All right, coming up, has the most valuable pitcher for the Mariners actually been on the A's staff? We'll tell you what we're talking about next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Really, a team like that, there was a lot of weak contact. And
here's the set by Urban. There's a 2-1 back at the runner. The
ball hit the other way. Base hit right field. Seager walks home, bobbled out there by Canna.
Base is loaded for Seager. Here's the pitch. Swinging a line drive into right field for a base hit. Crawford's coming home to score.
Their pitcher said that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even know we faced him before.
The 1-0. Here's the next offer. Swing and a well
swing,
hit ball.
Back to left center, field. But it's hanging up.
Here comes Laureano. Oh, he slides. Dodson, he can't make the catch. He drops the ball. Seager is in to score. Torrens first to third. Tom Murphy drives in another.
Crawford rounding third, being waved in. He'll score. Up with the ball, the center fielder, Laureano. In at second base goes Tom Murphy with an RBI double.
Yeah, we treated him just like we would a pitcher like that.
Cole Irvin, he's on the mound. He's 0-3 against the Mariners, an 8.49 ERA.
Here's the pitch to Kyle. Swung on, fly ball, deep center field. Marte going back to the one. He tracked to the wall, leaps up. Goodbye, baseball. Swung on, shot up the middle into left center field for a base hit. Toro will score. Here's the pitch to France. Swing and a high fly ball, deep to left field. Going back is Kemp to the one. He tracked, looking up, and goodbye, baseball. Ty France with a home run to left field. His 17th home run of the season, and it gives the Mariners a 3-0 lead.
Team like that.
Well done, Lefko. Well done.
Thanks. I was bored.
Fantastic.
How about that?
Swervin' Irvin, as he calls himself on Twitter. Cole Irvin, who after his first matchup with the Mariners throughout the team like that, and say, he went on to say something like, you know, I shouldn't be giving up hits to a team like, nor should anybody. Like, make it sound like he was playing a little league team.
Right.
And he has not had any luck against this team at all. He is now 0-4 against the Mariners. He's got one more start against him on Monday, you said, when you're going to be at the game. He'll go up against Chris Flexen.
It's either Monday or Tuesday. Yeah, so he's got another start coming up here. So
he went 5 in that game against Flexen, gave up 3 runs on 93 pitches. Yeah, not good. He's having a good season outside of the Mariners. The Mariners are his daddy. That's who they are. That's who they are, Dave. They own him. They go out there and use him like a grappling dummy.
Yeah.
Is what they do. It's like batting practice. Hey, Cole, why don't you fire up your best stuff? We're going to go ahead and use this as a launching pad for your cheese. Throw that weak cheese up here, buddy.
Well, and he's going against Flexen too. It is Monday night against A's.
So Flexen got the best of him in the most recent one.
Yeah, exactly. So they're on the same rotation, I guess. Roughly. Anyway, so yeah, that, why would you do that? And you know, that was one of those old things that you would always say, and look, you should go out there and try to hit well against every pitcher and, you know, play well against every team or, you know, whatever the case is, but you just don't ever want to give somebody an edge or a reason or an attitude to, you know, play better or beat you and just be quiet. But thank God he didn't.
Love it. Love it. Especially in baseball when you know you're going to see a team multiple. They're in your division.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be different if, you know, that was interleague play and, you know, it was a guy you never faced and you're like, can't believe a guy like that. Even then you don't say that. But
yeah, if this is the White Sox or something, you'd probably never see him again.
Just some, yeah, if it were somebody on the Mariners talking smack about it, somebody, I don't know, they played the Reds, right? A team you don't face. Okay. But this is a team in your division. What are you doing, Dunsky? You got to face these guys, and I get that the offense at the time that he made those comments. Here's what I'll say to sort of throw one his way. They were a terrible offense. They've not been a great offense all year. I mean, they still rank in the bottom half of the league, and at the time he made those comments, they were really not great. Okay, you still don't verbalize. It's not something you're going to put out there for public consumption. And I love the little soundbite he had from Seager in there going, oh, I didn't even know we faced him before. Yeah, you do. Yeah. These guys got a book on everybody. They know what he throws. They know how they did against him. That's absolutely untrue. But the way he said it was very telling and perfect. I loved it.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. Did somebody in there say, we hit him like the pitcher that he is? Or
yeah, that was Tom Murphy after they – I think it was a walk-off, too. They had one on.
That's right.
They hit him well, and then he clearly knew about that quote.
And in the post-game or in
It was the post-game, yeah.
Yeah, he was like, we treated him like the pitcher that he is.
So yeah.
That's how you treat a pitcher like that.
That's good, though. I love – and he's had to wear it. He's had to wear it ever since. And
well, and this is an emotional team, too. I mean, I feel like they're younger guys, and so something like that's going to get them fired up. I mean, if you had a bunch of, you know, veterans that are like Nelson Cruz and, you know, you have the coach in there going, hey, they, you know, like my high school football coach, you know, they said stuff about your mothers. You know, I mean, that'll get high school guys fired up and the younger guys fired up. The older guys have been around the block and seen it, but this is a young team.
You're looking at him going, okay, coach. Yeah. No, he didn't. Yeah. But he did. He did, and he'll have one. Even if he goes out there and wins that game, you ate it. You face-planted after that. You made those comments, and they went out there and kicked your butt four times. Four times on the – you are 0-4 against – and he's having a really good season against the rest of the league. Everybody else is pitching really well. The Mariners own him, and again, Swerve and Irvin, they are your daddy. For the final homestand of the Mariners season, 710 ESPN Seattle is bringing you a chance to score $7.10 Mariner tickets for the game on Monday, September 27th. Is that the one we were just talking about?
Yeah, Monday night.
Well, how about even better?
Yeah.
You can buy tickets for $7.10 to watch Swerve and Irvin go out there and try to save what's left of his face.
Going against Flexen.
Going against Flexen again. That didn't work out well for him the first time. So when the Mariners host the Oakland A's, just use the promo code 710 to redeem this special offer in the center field bleacher seats. More info at 710sports.com/events. And by the way, if you get the really good seats, the close-up seats for that game, I expect you to give him an earful. He needs to hear you, Dave.
I'm going
to
be like the drunk guy today at the Oakland game.
Behind
he had baseball pants on.
Did he have baseball pants
Goldsmith on? Pointed that out. He goes, oh, he's looking sharp. He's got his baseball pants on. It did. It looked like, did you see it, Lefko?
I didn't notice he was wearing baseball pants.
No, yeah. I didn't notice the pants either.
Yeah, it was stretchy, and they were white. Yeah, and the guy was just, and he was standing up every once in a while just randomly screaming and yelling. That's going to be me.
That's good. Wear your baseball pants.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get some of my old football pants out of storage.
Put some eye black on.
My wife will love it. She'll be very proud.
I think you should
me.
Just go in a full football uniform. Just be completely out of context, sitting there in a helmet, eye black, just sitting behind home plate. That'd be awesome. All right, coming up, speaking of football, we'll talk some football with the professor, John Clayton. He'll join us next year with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.